بسم الله والحمد لله إن الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على الرسول الكريم وعلى آله وأزواجه أجمعين وإن استنى بسنة يوم الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I've almost used up all my Arabic. Alhamdulillah, we will not need translation to English language. Although I really am a native Texan speaker, I did my master's in English, so I'm translating from Texas to English. One of my dearest and sweetest brothers and imams in Islam, Imam Shibli in New Jersey, recently introduced me to his, we would say congregation in English, but the jama'ah of the community there, as the funny imam. He said, I used to think I was the funny imam until I met Sheikh Yusuf, and now I know who's the funny imam. And I ask Allah to forgive me if this is not good, but wallahi, I swear, I think it's the best way to make sure that people understand the message, because this is what counts. If you go to the khutbah Jummah, if you go to the Friday service, and on the way home you said, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, good khutbah, and somebody said, what was it about? You said it was about 45 minutes long. What did he talk about? Well, I don't know. But it was good. Arabic was perfect. Ayahs were good. Well, which ayah did he read? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's alhamdulillah. So I would like it better if when you go home, you said, you know what? Imam said something today that I can use that. I can use that and it make a difference in my life. And I'm really speaking, first of all, to myself. Why? Well, because the ears of the speaker are the closest to the mouth. So the lesson needs always to be to me first. And then even if nobody else shows up, at least I'll benefit from it. Alhamdulillah, it's good to be here today. And I feel like I'm coming home when I come up here to New York. You brothers and sisters treat me really good. If I wasn't already a Muslim, I would become one just so I could be with you. Wallah.
Lord.
Because this is a very good feeling. The brotherhood of Islam and sisterhood of Islam is not compared to anything else. Really. Wallah. And so before I actually get into the talk, I would like to, if I can ask a question. I know at the end of the talk, you guys always get to ask the question, so I think I'm going to turn it upside down and I'm going to start with a question. Is there anybody here today who has not actually formally accepted Islam in public? Anybody? Not actually?
Raise your hand. Raise your phone.
Okay. Not actually in front of the people said, you know what? I want to do this. Okay. All right. By the way, you're my target. Look out. No. Just I wanted to ask that question because when we talk about subjects, it's very important to be sure that we make it so the person who is listening can understand and get the maximum benefit. Now, in Texas, where I'm from, we have a saying for that. We say you have to get the hay down where the goats can eat it. But I don't know if that translates real well into Arabic or into New York language. But I'm going to try my best in this short talk today to get the hay down where the goats can eat it. And that doesn't mean I'm calling anybody a goat. I'm the old goat here. Well, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kala fil Quran al-Kareem a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim wa ma khalaqtul jinn wal ins illa liya'budun. Our Lord and the only Savior, which is Allah, said in His book, which is preserved 100% in the original language, that He only created us for a single purpose, and that single person purpose is to worship Him alone and without partners. If you understand that, you will begin to understand the common sense of Islam. The common sense is it's very simple. If you ask yourself, how did I get here? My question will be, did you create yourself? And if you have to say, no, I didn't, then somebody else did. The common sense question which says, how do I live day to day? Who takes care of me? If you say, I take care of myself, I'll challenge you. But we'll ask you, if you were really the one taking care of yourself, I guess you never have a bad day, do you? I recall in a prison some years ago, I'm also a prison chaplain. I work for the World Assembly of Muslim Youth as their national chaplain now. And in one prison, I gave a talk. And I asked, how many are Muslim? Many hands went up. How many are Christian? Many hands went up. How many believe in something else? Hands went up. I said, is there anyone here at all who doesn't believe in anything? You don't believe in God at all? One person raised his hand. I said, I have to admire only one thing about you. In the face of all of these inmates, these prisoners, these thugs, murderers, killers, rapists, and all the rest of it that are in this room, all of them claim they believe in something, and you're bold enough to step out and say you don't believe in anything. So you do have courage. But let's see how well founded it is. How'd you get here? Did you make yourself? He doesn't have an answer. I said, are you your own God? Yeah. I said, okay. Well, I guess you never have a bad day. But this begs the question. And excuse me for asking this question. We're sitting at a maximum security in the state of Texas. And you a God. What are you doing in here? You got all this control, you know what I'm saying? So if it's so great God wants to be here, I wonder why everybody else wants to leave. You don't have an answer. And if you're some kind of God, I guess you can pretty much do what you want to do. But for us common folk, you know, can you like give us a free demonstration? Nothing big. I don't need a mountain move. Okay? Don't need to see you walk on light to the moon. But just out of curiosity, could you like grow one hair and we'll watch? And you can't do that, huh? Okay. Well, maybe you could do something else for us. Say, I got an idea. Why don't you don't eat and you don't drink. We do that during Ramadan, right? But it's just a few hours a day. So why don't you don't eat and you don't drink for 6 months? He said, I'll die. Oh. Well, to make it easier then. You drink all you want. You want water, you want tea, drink all you want. And just don't go to the bathroom for 2 days. And you can't do that. And you're God. That's pretty good. I mean, you know. What are you trying to tell me? Anything that's in this creation. Now look around you, and I'm not a scientist. I'm not telling you that I know how everything is, how all the molecules are. Don't really care. But I'm just asking a question. Isn't it true that everything in this creation is subject to change? True or false? Yes. Nothing stays the same. That's right. Even a human being starts from something very, very tiny. Is that true? Yes. And he becomes pretty big, in his estimation anyway. And then what? Will he keep on living and living? Will he keep getting bigger and bigger? Or when people get older, they start shrinking. Is that true or false? True. My father, alhamdulillah, came to Islam. I'm going to start with that. Alhamdulillah, came to Islam. And he was an ordained minister in the church for a number of years. Before me. But I'm going to tell you something. He used to be taller than me. He used to be 6 foot or bigger. Today, my father only comes up to here on me. He lives with us, but he's only this tall. Part of it because his back is arched, but part of it because of the compression of the spine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that in the Quran, about returning you back to that stage which you come from. He also has a disease called Alzheimer's. Which means basically he's pretty much like right now about even with a 18-month-old or 2-year-old baby in his mind, at least part of the time. Who did this? Allah. And eventually, all of us will do what? Die. We're going to die. Can God die? If He can, then your definition of God and my definition of God is not the same thing. To me, when I say God, what I mean is something to worship. And in Arabic language, that's correct. Ilah. Ilah is a God. Ilaha, gods. And the statement in Islam said, La ilaha. There is no gods. There aren't any gods. No gods, period. Nothing which is worthy of ibadah. Nothing worthy to worship. Nothing worthy of your love. Nothing worthy of your focus of attention, your desire, except the real God, Allah. And He's the only one you should give any focus to, any attention to, any devotion. This feeling of, I really want to please you. I want to please you so much that even if all the rest are not pleased with what I do, as long as you're pleased, then I feel like I did a good thing. Some people feel like that toward a girl or a boy when they're at a certain age. They call it love. I call it lust. Because real love transcends this physical thing. You say, I love her. I love her. I've heard some brothers even tell me, I love her for the sake of Allah. Yeah, well, they're stretching it, you know. If it's true, I'm going to ask you a question. Is she pretty? Well, that's not real important. Is she pretty? Well, yeah, you know, she's nice looking. Oh, good. That's good. And you love her only because, oh, she's a good Muslim. That's why. Okay. I'm happy about that. By the way, would you still feel the same if she lost one eye and she missing one leg or she had a big wart on the end of her nose? You still love her? He said, well, I don't see why that's important. I said, the only reason it's important is to determine whether it's love or lust. Because if you don't care about the appearance, if you don't care about her handicaps, you don't care about her infirmities, then maybe you do love her. Maybe. But when you talk about love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is on a whole different plane. Because you're loving her for what you can get. You say, oh no, that's not true. Yes, it is. Because either you want her companionship, and that's something for you. You want her good cooking? My wife's from Texas. She can cook, make a mess of beans in a hurry. By the way, we have a lot of beans and rice at our house. You know, Mondays and Thursdays are good days to fast for Muslims. So on Monday we'll have beans and rice, and for a variety on Thursday we have rice and beans. Turn it upside down. Alhamdulillah. What I'm saying, and I think this is the focus of what I'm talking about, that when you say you love something, but you're getting something out of it, then it may not be as much love as it is something else. But when you love Allah, this is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing because this is meaning you love. Is there anything you can impress Allah with? Stop and think. What are you going to impress Allah with? Your money? That's funny. In my case, that's hysterical. How about your size? Can that do anything? You can build your muscles up. Is that going to impress Allah? I don't think so. What is it that you could offer Allah that were really impressive. Do you know? What? How about some, let's get some answers from those who are not Muslim yet. What do you think you could actually offer to Allah that He would accept and He would like that and it would really be something? What would it be? What would it be? Who said that? Are you a Muslim already? Not yet? You almost said you were when you said that answer. Because that's correct. Obedience is what she said. Let's ask ourselves a question. What is the relationship between a human and their God? Most of the people use their gods as a tool. They want to get something out of their God, just like they want to get something out of people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know I'm having a rotten day. Let me go get my rabbit's foot, right? And rub that lucky rabbit's foot. It's lucky, man. This rabbit foot, every time I rub that rabbit's foot, man, I have good luck. You say, you know what, though? It didn't work for the rabbit. See that rabbit walking on crutches going, man, I needed that leg and this guy over here rubbing it. Whoa. So whenever you want something, you go to your fake God. Whenever you're having a problem, you go to your fake God. And then when you get what you want in this life, you're satisfied that was God. I recall one of my former, I won't even say colleagues, a person who was also an evangelist type minister, who had a debate once with a very beloved Sheikh of Islam, which is Ahmadinejad. And I recall in that videotape, when this individual tried to attack Islam by a very sneaky way, and he said, well, you know, there was somebody who was sick, and they were in the hospital, and they were thinking about Islam. But then, you know, they said, call on the name of Muhammad. I call on the name of Muhammad. I call on the name of Muhammad, and nothing happened. Then they said, I called on the name of Jesus, and they got well. So it must be Jesus is right. Huh? Okay. But just in case, you could, if that didn't work, you could always go back to your rabbit's foot too, couldn't you? Because some people, when they pray to their rabbit's foot or their rock, what was that? You said shoes. I never heard anybody do that one before. I said, you're good. Pray to your shoes, man. But I do remember a story from Omar, radiallahu anhu. He was the second caliph after the death of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Abu Bakr, and then came Omar, radiallahu anhu. Well, during Omar's time, they said they found him, you know, crying. And then he was laughing. So they went to him and they said, excuse us, can we ask you, it looked like you were crying and then you were laughing. What was that? He said, well, when I was crying, I was remembering the days of ignorance. When we used to really do something stupid, when babies were born, if it was a girl, they used to bury him alive. He said, I did that to my own daughter. Astaghfirullah. And he started crying. He said, as far as when I was laughing, he said, I was also remembering the days of ignorance when people used to make their pilgrimage to come to Mecca. You know, they used to worship 360 different idols and gods there in the holy center of Mecca. People came from all over the earth to go there to worship, to do pilgrimage and walk around in a circle and that kind of thing. He said, and I remember one time they came and they were all people worshiping their gods. I didn't have any god to worship, but I had some, like, dates. Some dates. And he said, I took the dates and I formed them up into some kind of god, you know, and then I could worship it. He said, but then later I got hungry and I ate it. And I guess that's with worshiping your shoes, you can always put them on and walk home. I don't know. But could be. That's could be. Sheikh said it could be. I'm not really approving of people doing that. When I laugh, I'm laughing at myself too. I'm laughing at myself too, because I've been there. I was a Christian, man. I was out preaching Christianity like you can't believe. And I was sincere as anybody else. And I wasn't doing it for money. I would never accept to go out and try to raise money for my preaching. Really. But still, there were times when I didn't get what I wanted. I would pray and I don't get what I want. Well, then I go look in the newspaper and see what my astrology said for today. Oh, that's why it didn't work. Oh, I'm on the cusp of, you know, Jupiter and Venus is on a rising, and so that's the whole problem here today. Okay. All right. And the lunar effect, you know, the moon is actually coming into to my Pisces. And so this is another problem. So that's why, okay. But tomorrow is going to be a good day. It says right here in the newspaper that Madam So-and-so said that I'm going to have a good day. You got to ask a question. How's Madam So-and-so's doing? Because I know some of these people too, because in the early 60s, I was in Washington, D.C. with a thing called the New Age Movement. And they accepted all these goofy beliefs. And they're goofy. Because I saw one, they worship colors. The right kind of colors will have effect on a person, they used to tell us. If you have reds, okay, this is going to cause certain kind of violence in a person. Blues are going to be subdued. You get into your grays and blacks, it's very intellectual. When you go into your whites and this is like spiritual, what's that? Where do you get that from, man? What are you talking about? You're telling me now somebody colorblind can't be religious. Oh. And don't even think twice before somebody's going to be talking about racism. Oh, yeah. That's got to come up. When you start talking colors, oh, people are different colors, so let's see. What does that mean? Come on, man. Get away from that. It's dangerous. Very dangerous thing to do. And then, of course, there are those people who look at your palm or your hand and they can tell you by these lines where you've been and where you're going. I remember one lady, they always ask you, let me see your hand. They look at your hand. And I remember one lady, she said, you know what? She said, I can tell things about a person if I hold something that they've had for a long time. If you got anything you've had for a long time, what do you carry with you that, you know, it's always with you? What are you going to say? Your purse or your billfold, right? She said, let me hold that a minute. Oh, I'm getting a vibration. I'm getting a vibration. I'm getting a big vibration. And I'm getting a $50 bill out of here at the same time. You say you're trying to make people's religion look like some kind of form of you know, charlatans or some kind of prostitution or something. And guess what? The Bible compares false worship to prostitution. Did you know that? Many times, go look in the Old Testament and look and see what it says about people who take false gods as worship beside Allah and how he compares that to this. Prostitution. Quran is stronger than that. It says real clear. Just listen to this. One statement made several times in the Quran. Allah said, I do not forgive anybody to set up partners with me, but anything less than that I can forgive. Who said that? The Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of the worlds. Lord being singular and worlds being plural. There are worlds, but there's only one God. Only one God. He's worthy of all worship, all love. And all love is due only to Him. And He will not accept worship on your terms. He will only accept it on His terms. Now finally, let's look at a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something which is not in Quran, then this saying of his is called a hadith. But if he says Allah said so and so, even though it's not in Quran, it has a special status in Islam. It's called Hadith Qudsi. Quds meaning sacred, holy. A holy saying of Allah, although not in the Quran, which translates to English. Allah says, I declare harb, war, on anybody who acts with hostility toward a friend of mine. And my servant, my worshiper, does not come closer to me with anything that's more beloved to me, except that he does what I ordered him to do. So there's your answer. There's your answer. You want Allah to love something from you? There is something you can do. But he said it will not be anything more than this. The most important thing is what he ordered you to do. Does it make sense? If God tells you to do something, and you say, well, no, I think I can do something better than that for you, God. Excuse me? I beg to differ with you, because first of all, how did you make that statement, I think? Where did you get the ability to think? Who gave it a brain? Who charged it up with electricity for you so you could run out here and say stupid things like that? You know, I take exception to the Hollywood when they made those movies, Oh God 1 and Oh God 2. You remember those two movies with George Burns? And they showed a man walking on the earth claiming to be God. Remember it? Even as a Christian, that made me sick. I said, that's stupid. How God's going to come down on earth and be a man? How? How God is going to... He's perfect. And he's going to put himself in an imperfect condition. As soon as he did, he's not God. God cannot do something that makes him not be God anymore. If he did, who's running the universe? And if you use that stupid idea that only one third of him became a human being, now what about the other two thirds? Come on, man! Hey, I was born in the night, but I wasn't born last night. That doesn't work. Go do the history, the real history. Go do the real history and find out where does this idea of three come from. It doesn't come until 300 years after Jesus, peace be upon him. When at the Nicaea Council that the Roman Emperor decides, quote unquote, he's going to accept Christianity as being the ruling religion for all of Rome. But it's going to be on his terms. They're going to change the day of worship from Saturday. 300 years Christians worship God on Saturday just like the Jews. Because they followed the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus was a Jew. Peace be upon you. But all of a sudden this Roman, multiple God worshiper, sun worshiper, the head of the cult called Saul Invictus, the invincible sun, all of a sudden he said, I want it changed to my day, Sunday. Why do you think it's called Sunday? Because that's the day people worship the sun. Those who worship the moon worshiped it the next day. That's the lesser god, Moon Day. What about Zeus Day? Wooden Day. Our word wood comes from that. The tree worshippers, nature worshippers. Thor's Day, Friends Day, and that comes from the son of Woden. And Saturn Day, those who worshiped what they thought was a star at that time, Saturn. Oops. Oops. Because in the Bible, like in the Quran, Allah is referring to the names of the days of the week by their number. Wahid, Ithni, Thalatha, Khams, Sitta. Did I skip Arba? I need Arba, the fourth day of the week. Khams, which is five. Sitta, six. Sabah. And in the Hebrew language at the time, Sabbath. And it said in the Bible in two places, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so they did. Because in Matthew 5:17, it said right in there that Jesus said, if you believe it, I mean, we don't have the original, but if you want to show me the KJV, the RSV, the NIV, the Good News for Modern Man, whatever, Madness for Modern Man, whatever. Whatever you want to show me, it's going to tell you something to this effect in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19, that in a red letter edition will be read because they said Jesus said this, think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments. Actually, it's several hundred if you read the book of Leviticus. I did not come to destroy, but rather to fulfill. And not until all things are accomplished shall one dot, jot, or iota be in any wise lessened. And whosoever shall break the least commandment and teach thus, he'll be the least in the kingdom. But whosoever shall do and teach the commandments, he will be the highest in the kingdom. Plus or minus English translation. Check it out. That sounds like a warning to me. It sounds like it's somebody telling you, look out for somebody that breaks commandments and teaches thus. And then this guy comes along named Saul, changes his name to Paul, has a blinding flash come down out of the heaven talking to him and tells him, change all the law. Change my mind. Jesus has a special connection with him and cancels everything all of a sudden. If you believe him, if you want to believe what he said, then go ahead. But it sounded to me like he's breaking a lot of these laws when he said, I'm dead to the law. It sounded to me like he's saying something big. And when he said circumcision, which is a requirement for all of the people who go into Islam, for the men, not the women, for the men to be circumcised of the four flesh, according to the Bible. Paul said, no, circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. Don't have to circumcise anymore. Break that commandment. Sabbath, change it to Sunday. Break that commandment. Worshiping God alone, break that commandment. You can worship Jesus now. Did Jesus, according to the Old Testament, does it say anywhere in there that somebody was going to come along later and tell you, forget God, worship me instead? Or hook me up between you and God? Or does it tell you in the book of Hosea, which is in the Old Testament, chapter 13, verse 4, real clear, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the house of bondage to the land of Egypt, and beside me there's no other God, beside me there's no other Savior. No Savior except God. Whoa. That would leave you with only one option. Either you admit that Jesus is a prophet, as those who knew him said so in the New Testament, because it says real clear that he was a prophet. He even says, a prophet like unto me will come after me and will make all things known to you. And a prophet did do that, and his name was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're either going to accept that, or else you're going to have to say, there's not three gods, but in fact only one, and it's Jesus himself. Are you going to say that? Because it said only one in the book of Hosea. It didn't say three. It didn't say schizophrenic. One. And he's the only Savior. So if you said, okay, Jesus is it. All right. Guess what? You got a new problem. That means when Jesus is on earth, there isn't anybody running the universe anymore. And then, check this out. According to this teaching of that thought they have, Jesus dies on the cross. Your God died. I'm real sorry. But he died. Who put him on the cross? The Jews. Yeah. But you're not mad at them. That's strange. This gets really weird now. You're not mad at them. They killed your God, okay? But when the Muslim comes along and said, no, we believe in him as a miracle birth, and the Jews don't. Today, I'm talking about today, in the year 2001. But you still love the chosen Jews. But you hate the Muslims. That's pretty weird, isn't it? The one who says, yes, we believe in Jesus as a miracle birth. We believe in his prophethood. We believe he's the Messiah. We believe he's the Christ. Which just means the same thing as Messiah. That's because one, Christos is Greek for the same word Messiah or Messiah in the Arabic language. So we believe that. We just don't believe it's God. And we sure don't believe he died on the cross. Because we believe God is just, fair. And did, according to the Bible, the one who's at Gethsemane is praying and saying, oh God, Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this thing, but even so, your will be done. I submit to you. I submit to you. But please, I don't want this to happen. He prayed it again and again and again. And wasn't once he'd go wake his companions up and say, you guys fell asleep and I'm in the middle of all this problem here. Get back to your post. Wake up. And go pray again. Don't let this thing happen. So you're saying, what? If he's God, who's he praying to? And if he's God, he already should know what the outcome's going to be. He shouldn't be having this argument with himself. And for sure, if he wants something, it should happen right now. Kun feyakun. Got to happen. But here's one, he don't get what he prays for. So I sure wouldn't advise you to pray to Jesus because he didn't get what he prayed for. Of course, he didn't pray to no rabbit's foot either. Think about it. What you trying to say, man? And then in the Bible it tells you on the cross, somebody's stretched out up there going, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And by the way, that's not Greek. That's Aramaic language. Because that's what the real text was in. It said, my God, Elahi, Allahi, Allahi, my God, why have you dumped me here like this? Does that sound like salvation? And you're going to buy that story and you're going to say, yeah, the God who took a perfect man, hung him on a cross against his wishes, and he's crying to at the end saying, man, I don't like this deal. And that's perfect salvation. Yes, Jesus loves me. What are you talking about? I like the answer in the Quran much better. I like it a lot. I liked it before I was a Muslim. It said real clear, they did not kill him, neither did they crucify him, but something that looked like it was made apparent to them. So the one on the cross wasn't even Jesus. And that's why he was going, my God, why do this to me? I thought I was doing a good thing, selling him out for 30 coins. Judas Thomas Iscariot. Thomas means what? Do you know that? Did you know that was his middle name, Thomas? But it's not really a name. Thomas is not a name. If you know anybody named Thomas, tell them go look their name up in a name dictionary. It means dead ringer, twin, from the word in the Aramaic language, to'am. How many of you know what to'am is in the Arabic language? It means what? Twins. Twins. Dead ringer. He looked just like who? Jesus. Jesus. Something that looked like went to the cross. Who went to the cross? The dirty, rotten scumbag that sold him out. And Allah pulled Jesus up to be with him. Do you like that story better? Or you like the one on the cross screaming and hollering, why you do this to me? Think about that. You got some children, okay? They're acting up. They're bad. Another child is really good. He doesn't do anything bad. He's honored to you. He comes to you. He loves you. He brings flowers to the mother. And he takes care of the father. And he tries to do the best thing he can do for the family. But these other kids are so bad. And the father said, you know, I got to be fair. You know, punishment has to be dealt out here. Nobody can escape punishment. But because I love these kids so much, even though they're so rotten, you know, I'm going to take this good kid over here and beat the crud out of him. You won't accept that. Why would you accept a religion where a God kills the good one for the deeds of the bad? Wow. Man, no wonder people get these psychoses. Go sit at the psychiatrist's office and talk about all their problems. You can't figure out the answer. Quran has the answer real clear. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Say he is Allah, he is unique, He's not like anything in the creation at all. Allah is laysa kamithlihi shay'in. There isn't anything like him in the creation, he said in the Quran. He's a samad. All of the universe forever is looking to him for their sustenance. And he doesn't have children. And he's not born. He is unique. Not like his creation. Ahad. And that's the teaching of Quran. If you can understand this message, and you understand the true purpose of worship, and you understand who is the God, and you're ready to obey, as our sister said, obey him on his terms, then you're ready to do what a Muslim does. Because Muslim simply means one who submits, surrenders, and obeys God. Because it comes from the word Islam. Islam means surrender, submit, obey, in purity, sincerity, and peace. And the one who doesn't is not an Islam-er, because that's English. It's a mu-Islam, because mu is the same as er in English, only it goes as a prefix instead of a suffix. Walk-er, talk-er. You see how it works? Talk-er. Only you'd say a mu-talk. Mu-Islam. Got it? Is that hard, or you can figure it out? Okay, suffer means to travel. Musafir, one who travels. The brother is about to give the adhan. When he gives the adhan, he will be the mu'adhan. Mu'adhan. You see? Simple. Right? Okay, if you want to be one who surrenders, submits, and obeys God in peace and sincerity, then say, I want to be an Islamer. Only say it in Arabic, I want to be a mu'islam. Muslim. If you want to submit to God on his terms, do it on his terms and quit playing around. Makes sense? Now, out of those that are not Muslim here, how many are ready right now to stand up and say, I'm ready to be a Muslim. I want to be a Muslim. I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm ready. Raise your hand.
Allahu Akbar.
La ilaha illallah. Can they do it where they are? They need to come up here.
Three inside is still coming.
Three more. MashaAllah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. I'm saying this for a reason. I'm saying this for a reason because I didn't know. Even though I preached Christianity, I didn't know. I didn't understand. It didn't come clear to me. And it wasn't a matter of what I read or didn't read or who I talked to or didn't talk to. What's the matter is between me and God. There was something between me and God that wasn't right. And it'll never be right until you're honest. This goes for everybody, Muslim and non-Muslim. If you lie, the Prophet ﷺ said there's a black spot on your heart. Like rust on metal, and it will encompass your whole entire heart. You got to tell the truth. You got to say something and be honest about it. I am a sinner. I need to repent. What does that mean? It means to stop sinning. I need to stop sinning. If he smokes, he needs to quit smoking. That's step one. If he drinks, he needs to quit drinking. If he beats his wife, he needs to quit doing that. Repent. Turn back. Tawbah. Go back to Allah and ask him, please Allah, forgive me and make me of a person who doesn't do these bad things. Make me one who worships you like you want me to worship you. And when you say that, you can say it real easy. Idina Siratul Mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us on your straight path to you. Does that sound fair? Anybody have a problem saying that?
No.
God guide me to the straight path, to the truth. Can you say that? God guide us to the straight path. Say that. Now let's say in Arabic. Idina Sirato Mustaqim. Idina Sirato Mustaqim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there was a verse revealed in the Quran which did not come in the former revelations. It did not come in the suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa, which means the scrolls, scriptures. It did not come in the Zabur, the Psalms of David, and it did not come in the Torah of Musa. It did not come in the Injil of Jesus, the good news. But it came in the Quran. And that verse is in Surah Fatiha, the opening. And that verse is, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. O God, guide us. Guide us. Guide us. That was my prayer 10 years ago. 10 years ago right now, I put my head down on the ground where I figured nobody can see me. illallah, except Allah. And I put my head down and I said, oh God, I give up. You know, I said, oh God, guide me. And I couldn't think of anything else fancy to say. By the way, I'm a good speaker if I want to. I can come up with some dandy stuff to say. But not on that occasion. All I could say is, oh God, guide me. And when I raised my head up from that position, do you think I saw big rainbows in the sky? Do you think I saw lights coming on? Do you think I saw angels coming down and doves going in all directions? Nope. Just a cloudy day in North Texas, all it was. But inside, I knew something. I knew something deep inside. It wasn't like I had a feeling like the Holy Ghost come on me or something. I just knew I had to start telling the truth. I had to be honest. I had to stop rationalizing. Stop lying and stop thinking I'm better than somebody else. Because all of those things in Arabic, like asabiyah, party spirit, or you know, racism, are forbidden. Kibber, being proud, showing off. Forget that stuff. When you're a Muslim, the only kibber is Allah, Akbar. He is Akbar. He's the great one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Akbar. We're zap. And in fact, he will zap a lot of people. Finally, I want to mention this one thing, and this is for the Muslims. And it's for me, it's for all of us. Stop telling everybody, oh, you know, it's okay if I don't pray. It's okay if I don't wear a hijab. It's okay if I don't grow a beard. It's okay because Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Stop saying that. We know Allah is Ghafur Rahim, the forgiver, the merciful, the forgiver, the merciful. He said it many times. Hundreds of times Allah talks about His Rahman Rahim. 113 surahs of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes. But read Surah Al-Anfal. Surah number 8 in the Quran. Read it. And see how many times he said, وَشَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ فَإِنَ اللَّهَ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ وَشَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Those of you who know the Arabic language know exactly what I mean. For those who don't, the basic understanding is, for sure Allah, He is the forgiver, He is the merciful, but He is also the one who punishes with a straight punishment. So be careful and ask Allah to forgive all of us, and let's try to do better. Let's try to get closer to being a good Muslim on Allah's terms. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. فاغفر لي مغفرتك إنك ورحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. إن الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
I will not describe as Sheikh Hamad al-Shibli when he said our guest is finally Sheikh, but actually he is the root of the heart and mind, which he is trying to swim inside our hearts and our mind to provide it with real guidance, guidance of Allah. Those whom he came today to listen to our beloved Sheikh Yusuf, and whom Alhamdulillah responded to the invitation, we are going to watch him and deliver such important minutes with them, the real moments of Iman. Those brothers and sisters who are willing to take Shahada, please stand up. The brothers or sisters who are ready to take Shahada, please stand up. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
The brothers or sisters who are ready to take Shahada, to declare the moment of the truth, please come in the same place. In the same place here to the south side. In one place here. In one place, you can stand. You are together. Yes, come sister. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Group of sisters. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Yesterday I have read a report are saying Islam is spreading in everywhere. Hurry up. We counted, they said, we counted that almost 16 new Muslim take shahada in each mosque all over America.
Alhamdulillah.
And I smiled. I said, Alhamdulillah. But this is not true. Such numbers, I invite them to come. But it has been just in one day. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
It is not in one year, but it could be in what? In one day. What if they listen to the truth? It will be something unbelievable, of course. This is the clear message of Islam. Whom is the day is coming, inshallah, to see all over the world, especially your countries, became Muslim countries, inshallah. Because you are the future. You are the hope. You are the one who is going to spread the message of Islam, message of peace, message of mercy, message of tolerance all over the world. You are considered me as one of the most ambassadors for Islam. You, our sisters. You, our brothers. Not only us who came from the Muslim countries. Now, inshallah, we are going to listen to Sheikh Yusuf, inshallah, while he is giving the message of Shahada. And all of us, inshallah, we are going to help those noble brothers and sisters while they are reiterating Shahada, inshallah. So I welcome Sheikh Yusuf to give them, inshallah, Shahada.
What we do usually with the men, I take your hand like this, step over here, I want to be sure that you have something that you'll remember for a long time. We're going to make a copy of that. With the men, we can take...
What about the sisters?
Well, I'm saying this, that with the men, we'll take your hand and hold your hand, because afterwards I'm going to give him a big hug. But with the sisters, it doesn't work like that. But we're holding hands with you in spirit, and certainly we're going to give you a big hug in spirit. Yeah. No more than that, brothers.
Yeah.
Just watch out. Okay, what we'll do first, inshallah, everybody understood what we talked about earlier. So I'm going to ask all of you to simply repeat the Arabic after me, and afterwards we will say it again in the English language. Just repeat after me. Ashadu.
Ashadu.
An la.
An la.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa.
Wa.
Ashadu.
Ashadu.
An Muhammad.
An Muhammad.
Rasulullah.
Rasulullah.
I bear witness.
I bear witness.
In open testimony.
In open testimony.
There is no God worthy to worship.
There is no God worthy to worship.
Except Allah.
Except Allah.
And I bear witness.
And I bear witness.
In open testimony.
In open testimony.
That Muhammad.
That Muhammad.
Is his messenger.
Is his messenger.
That's it.
Takbir.
Allah.
Takbir.
Allah.
Takbir.
Allah. Takbir.
Now, before we, the sisters, of course, I want you to greet your new sisters, hug them, welcome them into Islam. And certainly brothers come over and welcome your brothers into Islam the same. But as this is going on, I would like to mention that there's a great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which descends when a person enters into Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes their deed of records to be brought forward, and then all of the bad deeds are removed and purified and put back as good deeds. I mean, if somebody stole something, it's like you gave charity. Okay, but from this point forward, you're on your own. You know what I'm saying? You know better now. No more bad stuff. You gotta do the good stuff. Right? Because now you know better. But this man right now, he is And these sisters are pure. Pure. They are pure. Pure, more pure than rain. They have no sins and they have mountains of good deeds, which is better than the newborn child. So we're happy to be in the presence of these people when they make shahada. That's why I travel all these thousands of miles to go, so I can be there when these things happen, because I'm greedy. I want to be there because I want Allah forgive me too. So may Allah forgive all of us.
Amen.
And bring us back as new.
Amen.
And make us of those people who stick to the Quran and the Sunnah till the Yawm al-Din.
Amen.
Jazakumullahu khayran wa salaamu alaykum.